He that exalts himself will be humbled, and he that humbles himself shall be exalted. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Dear friends, this reading in today's Gospel helps us to pause and reflect. And one thing is certain is that our Lord is actually trying to tell us, even though we often read it in back to front, our Lord is actually trying to tell us that he has come to exalt us. He has not come to humiliate us. On the contrary, he has come to exalt us. But the way we want to be exalted and the way our Lord seeks our exaltation are often at odds with each other. Our Lord seeks our exaltation by leading us down the path that, for us, humanly speaking, is quite humbling. And our Lord would say to the apostles, you are fishermen, and fishermen in general are insignificant people in this world. But our Lord says, I've come to make you fishers of men. Something altogether totally different. Something quite extraordinary. If you think about the position our Lord is taking the apostles from, fishermen, going out to the ocean, catching fish, nothing quite significant about that, to getting them to traverse the world and to draw men, but to draw them to what? Towards the kingdom of heaven. And this is where our exaltation lies, in the eyes of our Lord. You know, if we pause and reflect in our time, someone like Steve Jobs, the CEO of Apple, still to this day has impacted the lives of billions of people. And to be fair, not him alone, because it wasn't him who simply invented the technology of the iPhone, or many people under him. But he certainly had the vision of what to do and where to take this technology. This technology, which has impacted the lives of billions of people today. Has it impacted the lives for good or bad? That's something for us to think about. It's not necessarily clear that the technology of our modern world has made us necessarily better people, or even smarter people, or even people of greater integrity. That's for sure. But certainly, the internet and the iPhones and all the technology associated with that affects the lives of billions of people around the world. It has really changed the face of the earth in many ways, as far as impacting the psyche of people, the outlook, the way people see things, the way people judge things today has really been impacted to a larger extent, yes, by this technology. We cannot say it hasn't. We cannot say it has not impacted the lives of billions of people, because it has. And we are seeing this even more and more as the ideas that are put through social media are impacting the mentality of people in different countries by means of the whatever is being put out. And to a greater extent, most of what's being put out is for falsehood and lies, because most of those who control these outlets are liars. They're wicked. But the point for us, for our thought, is we are called to greatness, which means we are called to impact the lives of others. We are called to be the witness of Christ in this world. Pericles, who was one of the great leaders in Athens 400 years before Christ, made a very beautiful statement. He said that what you leave behind is not what is engraved in stone monuments, but what is woven into the lives of others. In other words, even if we look at it as Catholics, there are many beautiful, stunning cathedrals, Catholic churches, buildings that are beyond comprehension. And yet, if I asked you, see that great cathedral, that great church there, who built it? And almost no one could say to me, I think so-and-so built that. We wouldn't know the names of the person who built this or that great cathedral. But yet, there's almost no one here who has not heard of St. Teresa of Lisieux, Padre Pio, all these great saints in the Catholic Church, particularly those who have impacted the lives of so many, and yet, really, someone like Saint Teresa of Lisieux, she was a little girl, died as a pretty much a young girl, and was hid her life in a convent. And yet, there's almost no one today throughout the world who has not heard of her. She was insignificant, but she became great with the greatness of Christ. And this is what we want to do. We want to become great. Why? Because Christ has called us for the greatness. But we become great not according to the standards of the world. The world's standard is precisely to exalt yourself, make yourself great. And our Lord's standard is, no, I will make you great according to the standard of the cross. And that, for us, is very difficult. But what are some of these principles that will help us to become great according to the greatness that Christ has called us to? Well, the first is to do what God expects us to be doing. And you know, you've probably heard it many times before, and that is to do live according to your duty of state. But this point is only the beginning, because there are many people who've lived before us who did their duty of state day in day out, and probably lived very rigorous and very hard lives. And for all that, they didn't really impact the world around them. And I'll give you an example. Today we live in an apostate world. Catholics, the greater number of Catholics today, are apostates, are enemies of our Lord Jesus Christ. Most Catholics wouldn't have a clue what the teachings of the Church were on almost any topic. And yet the priests and the nuns and the religious in the 50s and the 60s, they were pretty dedicated people. They did their duty of state. And yet, for all that, they left behind them a sterile and empty work. And why is that? Because doing our duty of state, that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning. We're just we are just doing the basics. And yet so many people today don't even do that. And why is that? Well, one of the contributing factors to that is we have so many things like the internet to distract us, to keep us entertained ad nauseam and sidetrack us. And the problem with the internet, like the problem with so many novels today, is that they are a distraction from our duty of state, from our sense of discipline. What am I supposed to be doing? Well, you know what? I'll read a book. Well, is that book just not an excuse for you to escapism, the internet? Most of the things we spend our time looking up or searching for on the internet, they're just an escape. I'm not saying they're necessarily immoral or bad, no, but they're an escape. Escape from what? From what I should be doing, from what I'm supposed to be doing. I wasn't born in this world to be surfing the internet. I was born to do something. And this is the thing that we need to start doing. We've been distracted by this. And, you know, it's worth mentioning to you, and it's not part directly of the sermon, but simply being born in a great family or a noble family, like Queen Elizabeth, who recently passed away, isn't automatically means that you are great. Why here in this parish, why in a normal Catholic church, we did not have a public requiem mass for her? Because she's died an enemy of our Lord Jesus Christ, the head of a false religion. Objectively speaking, we say she was damned, went to hell, objectively speaking. Subjectively speaking, we pray for her soul because we don't know the mercy of God. We don't know individually whether she repented before she died or what have you. But objectively speaking, as Catholics, we don't pray for have a public mass for those who die outside the church, because objectively speaking, we have no good hope in those who die outside the faith. And being simply born into a noble family doesn't automatically make you noble or great. It's what makes you noble or great is the works you leave behind. And I'm sorry to say, Queen Elizabeth, like so many people today, bishops, priests within the Catholic Church, when they died, what did they leave behind? Not much. What greatness did they leave behind? Not much. But, again, like the bishops and the priests, what she represented, we must always make that distinction. What she represented, the monarchy, that is always great, that is always holy, that is always sacred. The bishops, the priests, the religious, they are what they represent will always remain and should always remain in our minds noble, reverent. We should pay the nobility that it deserves, the respect and the reverence that it deserves. Because that office is a sacred office. The Pope may individually be wicked, but his office will always remain sacred. And the same thing in all these realities, we must make those distinctions. And so we love the monarchy and what it represents, but not necessarily the false ideas and wickedness of the individual who might be in that position, whether it's priest, bishop, or monarch. We must make that distinction. And I think that's important when we look at this question of greatness. Greatness is not determined by simply the position you are given in this world. And most people today, in the position that they are in the high positions in office today, they are there not because they merited it, because they deserved it, but simply because someone has liked them, has chosen, or they're born into that position. So it's not necessarily in itself something praiseworthy. It's only when, especially you saw often in the past, someone who was in a position often merited it by the hard work, the years of virtue, and the years of experience. This today, you can see almost in every field of life, sadly, those in high positions in companies and that often are ignorant people, haven't got a clue. But they are there because someone liked them, and that's sad. But we always maintain the reverence and the respect for those in authority, regardless of the position or the wickedness of the person. We can call out the wickedness, yes, but we remember that the office is itself something sacred, and we show that reverence that's due to it. For us, to become great, we must choose those things in life that are not simply linked to material possessions. In other words, often we don't become great because we choose things which reflect our own shallowness. So many people today, if you ask them what they are out to achieve, it's often purely material success, or I want a house, a car, or whatever. Yeah, these are nice things, but the danger is these things without the spiritual virtues behind them become detrimental, dangerous for us. They suffer us to become morally shipwrecked because we don't have the virtue behind them. Most wealthy people often lose their soul, not because wealth is bad, but because they've made their wealth their end. That's their God. Our Lord says, I'll give you all these things, but seek first the kingdom of heaven, and all these things will be added unto you. But today we have chosen the material over the spiritual. But it's the spiritual that will make us great. And what do I mean by that? Well, simply ask ourselves, what in life do I value? Where are my thoughts regarding the things of this world? And it might even make it simpler, easier for you to understand. What would you like, and in fact, not only what would you like, when you die, what are people going to say of you realistically? And what would you like people to say of you when you die? Because you haven't died yet, you can change that. Was this person loyal, friendly, kind, generous, giving, loving, patient, understanding? Or were they self-absorbed? Let me give you an example. One of my recent trips, was a young woman in front of me, and I asked her, that inscription you've got on your body, what does it say? I can't read it. I can't make out what it's saying. And it was a tattoo, and it said in Russian, it said, just live. I said to myself, I thought, well, I don't know why you need to make an obvious statement. If you're going to put something on, you put something that's just not obvious. But the person said to me, well, Father, is having a tattoo sinful? I said, well, according to the teaching of the church, objectively speaking, it is. And while I mentioned some reasons, the least reason is actually the most important. That is, I said, as Catholics, we don't believe in exalting ourselves. We don't believe in showing off, because tattoos and all those things that we do today Often, like the tattoos, they're done so you can show off. And as Catholics, we don't show ourselves off. We don't exalt ourselves. That's against the spirit of modesty. And today, yeah, we know the whole world is geared for this. The selfies, the iPhone, the I this, the I that. It's all about me. It's all about the exaltation of self. And yet, that's not what we are called to. And that's why these things are sinful. Because they are exalting what we are not supposed to exalt. Who are we supposed to exalt? Our Lord. He must increase and I must decrease, said John the Baptist. We must decrease in our self-exaltation. But this is when we become great. We all have heard of St. John the Baptist because he humbled himself. He exalted our Lord. And yet the funny thing about St. John the Baptist is when he was in prison, when he was suffering, when our Lord sent word to him via his disciples, our Lord never sent him with his disciples a single word of consolation for himself. Our Lord said to the disciples, tell them that the blind see, the deaf hear, the gospel's preached to the poor, but there was no word of consolation for John. There was nothing personally to exalt John, but there was something to exalt our Lord and his gospel because he is God. And yet, we all know of John, one of the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that's for us to reflect what virtues ought we practice that are going to make us great. And it's the virtues that we will leave behind. We'll take all the things that we work for in this life, material things. Not only will you often not take anything with you, but sadly, most of it will go to nothing, to waste. It will just go to dirt and often be given to ungrateful people. That's just the reality. That's life. What we need to do is redirect our lives in the proper order of that reality. You know, we are not called in this life to enrichen. I know you're not going to like what I have. We're not called in this life to enrichen our children, our family, our friends, our relatives. We are called to do good to all men. That we are called to. Because if you live your life focused on, as so many parents do, only enriching the lives of your children, your family members, your friends, your relatives, our Lord says in the next life there's no reward for you. Why? Because you do nothing different than the pagans already do. The pagans do this. The pagans have that value. How are you different than in your outlook than the pagans? Then don't expect a reward beyond that which the pagans receive. And the pagans receive their reward in this life, not in the world to come. And I think this is something, again, as we are going through life, to pause and reflect and perhaps redirect our sentiments and our thoughts. And, you know, a young man I was speaking to recently, he said to me one of the biggest regrets, and as a young man, I'm glad he's saying it because most people don't make this statement in their 90s, but he said it in his, maybe not in his 30s. He said, one of the biggest regrets in my life is spending my time enriching family, friends and relatives when I should have been enriching the lives of the poor, the needy, the abandoned, the forgotten, the sick, the lonely. That's exactly it. You've understood something. You've become wise beyond years in that thought, because that's the thought of the saints. That was the thought of the saints. And that should be our thoughts. Our thoughts should be to become and it's not to, when we say be humble, we don't think of ourselves. That's not true. We must think of ourselves, but we must think of ourselves less. And today when we speak of humility, I'm afraid that we have a very false notion of humility. Often we associate humility with a sort of pacifist mindlessness. Let me give you an example of a very beautiful clip I saw of somebody who is truly humble. So a group of young, small group of people, Catholics, they were praying their rosary in public, a very beautiful thing, public profession of their faith in Europe. And a dark-skinned immigrant came along and began playing loud music in order to disrupt them. A young man kneeling down got up, he clobbered him, threw him out and knelt back down and prayed his rosary. Thought that's a true sign of humility. Somebody who's not afraid of what's this person going to say, what's the world going to think, what if my life's in danger, the honour and respect for our Lord is in danger, and how dare this person insult our religion, You know, some are like King Louis of France, this great saint known for his alms deeds, say attend 2 masses each day, was very clear. If the infidel gets in your way, all you need is 1 swipe of the sword to cut him in half, and that's enough. And this is somebody who was a saint, who spent his life assisting the poor, the needy. But when it came to the honor of God, there was no sacrifice that was too great for him. There was no sacrifice. That's somebody who's humble. His life wasn't about him. It was about the impact that I give to the world and the lasting remnants of Christ that will impact this country for centuries. And, you know, again, we can think of, you know, someone like Padre Pio, Saint Teresa of Lisieux, all these great saints in the history of our faith, Saint Augustine, who impacts our faith, our life, till this very day. And yet they lived so long ago. How? By the greatness that they achieved, by means of the virtues they acquired, by the love of Christ they imparted to the world. And this is how we are called to be great. And our Lord reminds us in the Gospel of even beyond this. Our Lord says we must go beyond our comfort zone. We must go the extra mile. If someone asks you to go 2 miles, says our Lord, go 3, go 4 with them. St. Paul would say, to the weak, I become weak. I become all things to all men, to gain all men, to save them in Christ. St. Paul became all things to all men. To the child, he was a child. To the theologian, he was a theologian. To the philosopher, he was a philosopher. He became all things to all men. And, you know, the last catechism class, I gave a small crash course in philosophy, which is simply the explanation of common sense. But why? Because when you're dealing with someone in the world who knows philosophy, you should be able to answer them, give them a few basic points, some clarity. For the philosopher, St. Paul was a philosopher. For the Greeks, he was a wise man. For the Jews, he was a Hebrew, each one to each man. Why? To gain them, to lead them, to enlighten them, to draw them to our Lord Jesus Christ. This is, should be us. All things to all men in order to gain all men. And we should be able to accommodate ourselves to all men at the level that they are at. With a scientist, I'm a scientist. With a doctor, I'm a doctor. With a child, I'm a child. And there's no reason that we cannot be at this level in our life. But it depends on what we seek after in this world. What am I seeking? What am I after? What am I trying to gain? We need to pause and reflect. How am I, for example, and you see this today, how am I towards the stranger? You know, our Lord says in the Gospel a statement which you can, everyone can understand, and it's, I use it to people of every religion. And that is, do unto others what you want them to do to you. Everyone understands this, and good luck if you find anyone who actually applies it. Today you go to someone's place, they spend their whole time watching a screen, watching their iPhone, and imagine you did that to them. They'd be highly offended. And yet, they don't care that they do that to you. How many people get upset with their spouse? But you say, the spouse, if the spouse simply said, well, you know, when you do that to me, you're not bothered, are you? But when I do the slightest thing towards you, you get upset, you get angry, and you make it well known. But when it comes to you showing consideration, understanding, patience, there's none. Why is that? Because that basic principle of our Lord is not applied. But when we are some way hindered, we get offended. But did we think, well, you know, I'm far worse in the inconsideration I show towards my neighbour, towards my family members, friends, relatives, doesn't matter, because I'm focused on myself. How is that Christian? And this is goes back to today's gospel. Today's gospel, our Lord asked the question to learned men, to theologians. He asked them, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? A question that even a child should be able to answer. Of course it is. Because the whole purpose of the law of God is the love of God and the love of our neighbour. And it doesn't matter what day it is, what time of the day it is, day or night. If my neighbor is in need, whether it's Sunday, and in fact, so much so the church says, if your child is sick and it's a Sunday, will you stay home and you look after that child? That should be obvious point. And yet they remain silent. Why? Because they become hypocrites. They become liars. They become selfish. Because they knew that if they had said yes, they would have entrapped themselves in their own wickedness. They came not to eat with our Lord, to be in his presence, but they came to seek to trap him. And they wanted to act like they were scandalized by his good deed. It's not that they were scandalized. It's that they had a prejudice against him personally. And the danger is that we often do the same. If someone we don't like that does something, oh, it's the worst thing. But why? Because we don't like them. How do we treat the person in the parish or in the town or in our family that we don't like? How do we treat the one that we do like? There's clearly a difference. There's always a difference. We got time for this person, but that person I've got no time for. Why? What's the difference? Nothing. It's our attitude that is the difference. And yet you all know this famous story of St. Teresa of Lisieux. The nun in the convent who she couldn't stand the most thought that Teresa loves me the most. Why? Because despite the fact that this person was obnoxious, rude, painful, St. Teresa always showed her the kindness, the respect, the consideration that she needed. That's often not our way of thinking. That's totally reversed. And yet this is what the greatness, these are the things that make us real great. Not the facade great in the eyes of the world, but the real greatness. And that real greatness is difficult for us. It is hard for us. And this is why we need the grace of God to help us to become great. This is why we need our Lord. Our Lord uses this opportunity that, you know, in today's gospel, that could have been used as an opportunity for our Lord perhaps to get revenge on his enemies, to call them some very harsh things. But on the contrary, he uses it as an opportunity for good, to instruct them, to enlighten them, to open perhaps the doors of grace in their heart to hearing the word of God. And this is the challenge for us. We live in a world which is perverse, wicked, blind. But we must use the opportunities we have in our life to present the kindness, the charity of the gospel. And sometimes it does mean clobbering a person. And that is the best thing sometimes we can do for them, sometimes. Shake them up and say, this is not right. And sometimes clobbering them, sometimes verbally, saying, you know, Johnny, what you did, it's not a good thing. It's not right. It's not respectful. It's not polite. Sometimes no one's going to tell them that. Sometimes we have to say that in a way that is going to work for them, each individual, according to their abilities, their age, their state, whatever. But let us ask this today in the Mass. Let us ask for this grace to pause, to reflect, and to seek after those things which truly going to make us great by the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Ghost. Amen.